Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And welcome to the Wednesday Night War Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, here to review everything that happened on last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review the Wednesday Night War, and if you want to know our thoughts on AEW Dynamite New Year's Smash Night 2, that is available as a podcast right now. We also review Raw, SmackDown pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick, aka the lawnmower man, to cut through what was a fairly drab episode of NXT. This is going to be tough, I've got to be honest, Sidge. We're reviewing all the fallout from New Year's Evil, the beginning of the Dusty Rhodes Classic, but we haven't got Mr. NXT, Michael Hamblett, with us. Unfortunately, he is still recovering from his COVID diagnosis. Of course, best wishes to him. Please do send him all the lovely vibes and good messages and stuff. You can send him on Twitter at Michael Hamblett. But with that in mind, what did you reckon to NXT this week?
Genuinely yawning. Legit. Same old problem. I watched it after Dynamite. I watched it at a ridiculous time in the morning when I'd already had the wrestling I'd been looking forward to that week. Trying to view it in isolation, I'm going to struggle during this podcast, you know. And I think that's more of a problem on their end than my sleeping habits and viewing habits, because so many of these matches were just kind of there, well worked, but kind of there. A lot of gentlemen's threes scattered about. There were some curious booking decisions that made no sense to me personally, because I'm not a goldfish. Looking back at what happened like a month or two ago, just very little to get excited about, I thought.
Oh, that was a good show. There was elements that were intriguing, probably more than exciting. Great to see the Rascals, for example, in NXT, which we'll get to in due course. And yeah, like I said, just fascinated to see what they do in the future with some of these angles. Just there was certainly nothing that I felt, oh, I've got to tweet about this right now. Watching,
you wouldn't get the numbers if you did.
No, exactly. Watching NXT, whereas you know, Brian Cage throwing Darby Allin out of the ring through a table kind of inspires that sort of response, along with a whole host of other things that happened on AEW Dynamite. But we are here to talk about NXT, and the show began with Shotzi Blackheart coming out on her big tank to have a match against Candice LeRae. I enjoyed this match, and I don't know whether this is a backhander compliment to say, oh, it was really good, and Shotzi Blackheart didn't do any huge botches, so it was better than normal. I think she's a great wrestler, but she has a tendency to sort of overreach, let's say, when she's in matches like this. And yes, we had a DDT on the apron to Candice LeRae and a tope suicida from Blackheart following that. But I thought these two worked really well together, and probably that's more of a testament, I'd say, to Candice LeRae. She's just a great pro wrestler, isn't she?
Yeah, this is good. This is pretty good. I struggled to really, really get into it. I don't think it hit the gear. Didn't have that sort of chaotic energy, as you've said, as I've come to expect and really enjoy from Shotzi Blackheart. I'll not remember this in a couple of weeks. Wilborn, correct me if I'm wrong, they might have done it on the day of. Did they announce this in advance that this match was happening?
Certainly when I was putting my notes together yesterday, there was no mention of this match, considering the history these two have had. They may have tweeted it out, But like we say, we record what, Wednesday afternoon here in the UK, normally, maybe around Wednesday lunchtime. And they have a tendency to go in 2 hours before the show starts. Oh, we've got these three amazing big matches. And we sit there and go, would have been nice to know about that and been able to preview it. But yeah, I don't know, to be perfectly honest. And it's a shame to have got such a storied history together.
The mere fact that they didn't sort of communicated to me that they didn't think it was this really strong match with which to advertise and promote the show, which had a detrimental effect on my experience of it. It just arrived out of nowhere. Shotzi Blackheart's already lost in War Games, the match that was built around marketing her. She lost again here with every NXT finish you've ever seen. And it just felt like a massive, massive step back for a performer that I really like. And I kind of think it soured my mood on the entire show. It was there. It was good. Candice LeRae is obviously really strong. It's probably for the best that she's going to get the push. She's probably more ready for it. But what are they doing with Shotzi Blackheart? Like, am I meant to invest in her? Am I not? Am I meant to care about Shotzi Blackheart versus Indi Hartwell, if that's the direction? Haven't we already seen it very recently and it wasn't very good? Like, it's just in a loop. And it's not the first thing on this show that's just in a loop. Sorry, let us Google Shotzi Blackheart versus Indi Hartwell, because that's the only direction I can imagine her character is going in. And I'm fairly certain.
I'm going to look up on their Twitter to see if they did the old, oh, just been announced, 2 hours before the show, we're getting this sort of thing. Let's have a look, because I feel like it strikes me as something that they would do as a little quick, we need to get the viewers in for the start of the show sort of thing.
They did it on December 16th, Shotzi versus Indi. They've built it again, it looks like, here. They're just in a loop. They're in a total loop. We've seen this at War Games. This feud's gone on forever. There's kind of at this point a decisive victor. Just don't know what they're doing.
Oh, they did. Yeah, they did.
December 16th.
What time was this be? You bastards. 11 p.m. our time yesterday. They tweeted about not just the tag team matches, the Dusty Rhodes tag team class, we already knew about, but yes, Johnny Gargano versus Dexter Lumis, which we'll get to, and this match that they just, I'd give them more credit. 6 p.m. our time, they announced it actually. Same old, innit? We can't record the podcast at that time, and it's getting desperate now. And they're not going to win the ratings, are they, this week? Let's be perfectly honest. The match itself, though, yeah, was enjoyable. If they sort of tipped their hand with Hartwell causing distraction throughout the match, allowing like Candice LeRae to hit a flying crossbody, which looked great on the floor. There was a bit where Candice had her in the Gargano escape, but Blackheart breaks out of it by a swinging neck breaker sort of thing. And then, yeah, Indi Hartwell distracts her. Candice LeRae hits Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. 1, 2, 3. I don't think he achieved anything, like you say. Then we saw, I got very excited for a split second. I thought our boy was ready to turn into the screens. Pat McAfee's lads, sadly minus Pat McAfee, were shown arriving just as Finn Balor was heading to the ring to cut a promo. Because the promo talks about, you know, going through this war yet again with Kyle O'Reilly. When Pete Dunne interrupts, comes down and confronts him. Like I said, I am very intrigued about a potential match between Pete Dunne and Finn Balor. It was the old, age-old thing you always moan about, isn't it? It's just, oh, how are we going to get these two to set up a match together? We're just going to have Pete Dunne interrupt him and say, oh, you've fought everyone except me sort of thing. It's on paper a great match. It was just a very sort of generic way of getting to it, I suppose.
I mean, it's just quintessentially NXT. This promo interrupted with not a particularly hot verbal exchange. Like, Pete Dunne's incredible in the ring, but he's not really it on the microphone. And more to the point, Pete Dunne lost to Kyle O'Reilly. That informed the number one contender for the match at New Year's Evil. So what claim does Pete Dunne have? Like, how is he a credible threat at this point? I'm not going to take that match seriously. just why do they book like this? Like, why do they book like this? It's not as if Pete Dunne got like his pants pulled down. Like, I love that match with Pete Dunne and Kyle O'Reilly. But at the same time, why book it if you know you're going here? And if it's just a diversion because elsewhere on the show, we did see Karrion Kross virtually say, or through Scarlett Bordeaux, that it's going to be Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor very soon. This feels like it's the diversion before we get there. But you still haven't built Pete Dunne. You've still got no real right to be out there. And how can you do another match with these two teams, it looks like, Undisputed and McAfee's boys minus McAfee, when you've already done War Games?
Yeah, I'm completely...
I don't understand the booking. I do not understand the booking of this show or how I'm meant to really earnestly care about it beyond, oh, that match will be great. It's like, yeah, it probably will. It probably will, but... yeah. I'm watching a TV program here. I'm not watching a wrestling show. There's a key difference that they fail again and again to grasp.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, like they told the story throughout this show and it made sense when the show concluded, but in terms of making you eager to see what, how does this play out next week? I don't think they really succeeded there. We had the, not just Pete Dunne, obviously, but the tag champs, Burch and Lorcan. They attack Balor. Kyle O'Reilly runs down to make the save, joined by Adam Cole and Roddy Strong. They clear the ring. Balor sort of nods to them. And then, as I said, it will play into events later on in the night. So Johnny Gargano being given a drawing by Dexter Lumis via Austin Theory. I mean, only Gargano can sell being angry at a picture. but then Austin Theory was angry because he got a drawing of himself as well. And we move on to the grizzled young veterans, soon to be recognised as the best tag team in NXT versus Ever-Rise. I really enjoyed this match, I have to say. It was, you know, elements of old school wrestling, you know, Drake and Gibson are fantastic at like sort of cutting the ring in half. And as much as we love the comedy that comes from Chase Parker and Matt Martell as part of Ever-Rise, it was nice to see them just straight up wrestling and trying to, yeah, win a match in the first match of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. Your thoughts, Sige?
Here's the refrain again. It was pretty good, not great. I tell you what, like Grizzle Young Veterans, if we're going to monitor it, is like rate it as an individual performance. Like they did stuff in this match that made me think, yep, they totally belong at the top end of a good tag team division. And even NXT's as well. They look great. The match itself was just there for me. I don't know if I'm just too tired to watch this as a Brit, having watched Dynamite first. I just didn't think it was all that electrifying. And again, it's just a disappointment that Ever-Rise, a team with so much potential, were kicked out in the first round. Like, you need teams who are making an impression. And I know it's hard to gauge what makes an impression because NXT is not really that relevant. But like, I've seen people get into Ever-Rise as much as we have. They cut a promo. Was it an exclusive or was it actually on the show itself?
This week, I don't think it was on the show as far as I know.
I watched an exclusive of theirs that popped up on, must have popped up on Twitter. And they are going full babyface with them, which is good because they're goddamn too endearing and funny to not be full baby faces. So I will be tentatively excited about that.
Like we booked it yesterday, how they should get back into this tournament. And we said it was the right move to have Grizzled Young Veterans win. They won by a ticket to Mayhem on Matt Martell. Zach Gibson getting the pinfall. I don't know how you do it now. It makes sense, but like you say, it's convoluted and it could piss a lot of people off to just have them hoid back in there at the expense of some other team that get jumped backstage or whatever. But yeah, I hope NXT realize what they've got on their hands because they are boy poppers. And we'll talk hopefully in more detail about them once we see what goes on with them in the coming week. Because if they're not going to be involved in this tournament, they should be involved in some other form of tag team storyline, hopefully, or at least more than WWE.com exclusives that we have to encourage people to go and search out. And in the women's Dusty Classic, by the way, it was announced that Shotzi Blackheart is teaming up with Ember Moon. What do you reckon to that team?
I mean, to be good in the ring, this promo was awful. Like, this promo was awful, man. Like, I don't want to be cruel. I will not bury Ember Moon too much, but like, the need to rethink the presentation of this Ember Moon character. She just comes off so stilted and a bit cringe when she's cutting those promos, and yet she's cutting them, or she's scripted to cut them, in the manner that she's this easygoing sort of fun presence. She's not good on the mic at all. And I'm just, I cringe when I watch the show at times.
Next up, it was Dexter Lumis in action against Johnny Gargano. A slog, I think it's fair to say this, as much as I love Johnny Gargano and watching him wrestle, and the fact he came in and made a real point of ripping up that picture in front of Dexter Lumis, who smacked the taste out of his mouth then, which was quite good. I did enjoy that. But like I've mentioned this every single time we talk about, I cannot get invested in Dexter Lumis, the character, or, and therefore, a Dexter Lumis match. You know, Gargano was bumping all over the place from him. I mean, Dexter Lumis went for a swanton bomb and missed as well. All good stuff, but I just was not invested in this. And to sort of put the icing on the cake, a bad cake at that, it was finished by a schoolboy after we saw yet again the way using distractions. Austin Theory jumps up, gets suplexed into the ring by Lumis, and then that allows Gargano to schoolboy him 1, 2, 3. Post-match, Lumis goes after Theory, but the numbers game catches up with him. Gargano cuts him off, grabs a chair. He's going to batter him with it, but then Kushida runs down to make the save. You've got Theory being put in Lumis's submission on the outside. Kushida's got the hoverboard lock on Gargano, and Kushida grabs the title belt. Like I say, intrigued where this goes in terms of Kushida getting a title shot, but I just... it was meh. It was very meh and a tough watch at, like you say, in the early hours of Thursday morning for this message.
Yeah, I mean, how could I possibly give a toss about this character that we again see all over the place? Like, is just not a babyface. He kind of performs like a babyface. You know, he does that kip up and swinging leg drop thing that's meant to be athletically impressive, but it will never resonate as athletically impressive because he's on the brand full of athletically impressive guys. It feels like they've got a gimmick that would have worked before wrestling got unbelievably awesome over the past 10, 15 years and expect you to get excited about it. It's just like, well, he does a less thrilling version of the people who thrill me. And how am I meant to give a toss? In terms of stakes, in terms of why you want to watch pro wrestlers fight and grudges and where this is all going in terms of like championships, which are put over as championships and not these things that are cursed, about a guy drawing a picture of another guy and the guy being upset of the picture. It's just, it has to be really funny for this to work. Otherwise, it's just trivial nonsense with no stakes, and this is trivial nonsense with no stakes. Mm-hmm. Look, it's building towards Gargano Kushida. The match will bang, and as I said before, like, that is just the NXT story from 2018 onwards. Telly's boring as hell, but you know, the match will be good. And again, it's just not good enough. This is why they're not getting the ratings. This is why they're getting continually massacred by AEW. And it's not just us, you know, like, I feel sorry for them. There will be loyal NXT fans out there, and they deserve Michael Hamflett's very enthusiastic analysis. I can't pretend to do that. I can't pretend to be inspired by this. And I will say it's not just us. If you listen to Dave and Brian on Observer Radio, they'll go hell for leather in the AEW recaps because it inspires them to analyze it, and they will give NXT 10 minutes at the end. Think other outlets, I think Voices of Wrestling have dropped reviewing NXT altogether. Like, I will just say, I'm sorry, Hamflett, God willing, will be back soon, but it isn't just us, you know, it isn't just us. Other media outlets can't be arsed. Like, the ratings tell their own story. It's just, if they're going to book in a loop, people will just get dizzy and bored and sick.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Let's move on to something that I did enjoy this week, that face-off, the face-to-face sit-down chat with my best friend, Wade Barrett, Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. They talked about Thatcher's injury. They went back and forth. Thatcher was talking about the fact that Ciampa's got no experience. We're getting the fight pit next week. I'm very excited about that match, and I really enjoyed this way of building it, and especially because it wasn't just your archetypal in-ring shouting match, basically.
I found this hilarious, me. And it wasn't meant to be, but I was entertained by it, and I can have a laugh at it. I can get alive by something that happened on NXT. The scripting in this just made me laugh. There was a bit where Thatcher... like, Ciampa's still meant to be the babyface because he's saying, oh, you're a bully. You're a dickhead of a coach. I look what you did to Jake Atlas about 5 months ago when you're meant to be a tweener, what you're meant to be. There's a bit where I talk about, right, I'm a different animal in that fight pit. And, you know, a lion doesn't have to explain to a zebra how he's going to eat him or whatever.
Oh, I know what's coming.
Goes, and Ciampa goes, do I look like a freaking zebra to you? Right. That's meant to make him look like a lion, when in fact it makes him look like a zebra because the lion was so stupid. And he looked so pitiful and comical saying it that I've just imagined Ciampa looking like a zebra.
I did as well. I imagine
the last thing you wanted to accomplish with this, don't look like a freaking zebra to you. Like, think about how these words sound so silly together and then don't write them down. That's an idea.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I like the build to it, and like, and maybe I was being a bit generous because I was like, we get the fight here next week. So
yeah, you might enjoy it, but like, do I look like a freaking zebra to you? Hilarious. Hilariously mad.
What is it now?
Zebras and cats.
Mm.
Stop doing animal things. Do wrestling things. Do episodic things.
Next up, it was Isaiah Swerve Scott and Jake Atlas versus the mysterious MSK, which turned out to be Wesley and Nash Carter, better known as Desmond Xavier and Zachary Wentz. Of the Rascals, they are now known as MSK. I thought they looked great in this match. It was obviously a wonderful pairing. They get not an easy win, but they get a kind of straightforward victory against a team that just can't get along. But yeah, this was my high flying. God, I need something like this at this time in the morning, especially, you know, the face to face stuff, especially off the back of a Texas Looms match, and then this just wild stuff, the standing moonsault where one of them pushed the other one into the, I thought it looked great, dives left, right, and center, loads of flippy bollocks, obviously, double team neck breaker, and then Carter covers Isaiah Swerve Scott for the pinfall. Great to see the Rascals in NXT.
I took the words right out of my mouth when you said you needed this. Like, I needed something that banged. I needed something that had life. I needed something new that wasn't a strange, again, loop around something that I was bored by a month ago. And this was it. Really strong debut for them. A great individual showcase. There were some story elements as well when Swerve was really trying to just like, you know, come on, we can win this and cheat. Not that, again, we haven't seen Swerve versus Atlas like quite often at this point, but forget that. This is all about MSK. They look fabulous. I just really enjoyed this. I thought it was a really strong debut.
Right decision to have them in NXT as opposed to Raw or SmackDown for you?
Yes, because NXT, and I know the creative has changed from its peak, but they at least want to care about tag team wrestling, even if they're not very good at building storylines around it at the minute. You will at least get on the Macho Bang, you'll at least get that with NXT, whereas on Raw and SmackDown, they would fall out in about 2 weeks, and then one of them would cut in each and every one of you promo, and then you'd never see them again, Tucker. So the best decision possible, and I thought they looked really, really great here. And it's a style of team that NXT's needed for quite some time, in my opinion.
Yeah, I as much as it is just sort of thrown together, this Dusty Rhodes tag team class, it does remind you of like, oh, look at all these different teams we could have interact with each other. And, you know, some of them are just teams that they just put together for the sake of, oh, we need three more teams. But other than that, you look at that and you go, oh, God, can you imagine like an MSK versus Everrise match or whatever it may be, all the potential.
I would even take MSK versus Imperium.
Yeah.
That's the kind of like team that they should contrast nicely against. Mm. So I think there'll be a great benefit to the division, just whether they can book them.
And hopefully, yeah, they'll take on board elements of the Rascals that we saw in Impact. And what do you reckon to the name, MSK?
You know what? Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I had an admin job for 8 years before I joined What Culture in 2016. It was something I was entirely unsuited to do. It wasn't what I was good at. I worked really hard to become quite good, I think, at times, but I'm still haunted by the experience because it was very stressful. I just wasn't cut out for it. And we had a system, and instead of like your initials, mine would be MPS because I'm Michael Peter Sidgwick. It took your first initial and then the first and last letters of your second name. So when I logged into the system, I was MSK. And whenever you dropped a bollock, you would hear from certain pockets of the office, who's such and such, who's such and such, because you couldn't immediately tell who the person was by the way they configured a username on the system. Mm-hmm. So I'm still haunted to this day, but who's this MSK? I went, oh, I've messed up again. Oh, I hate them now.
Oh, no.
Why didn't that become... Oh, man, I thought I'd got rid of the trauma.
You're just getting NARM flashbacks every single week when these guys step out and they're going to be having a great time and you're just going to be in a hole of dread. Oh, no. Right, next week we get also not only the fight pit, but the beginning of the Women's Dusty Classic. First round matches, which were announced, include... And I got excited and simultaneously a little bit sad about this. Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, great tag team. Love those two together. Hope they go far. But then I look across the ring for them and I go, Tony Storm and Mercedes Martinez. Jesus, okay.
Piss funny how the one tag team they've kind of inexplicably got, because before there was a Women's Dusty Cup Classic, there was no tag team titles. And yet, for whatever reason, you've had Catanzaro and the other one, whose name escapes me right now. Caden Carter, yeah, sorry. And they're probably going to lose in the first round, despite being so experienced. That'll be funny. I'll laugh at that.
I do like that on paper, Tony Storm, Mercedes Martinez. You won't mess with them, would you? Jesus. Next week, we also get Lucha House Party versus Imperium. And I suppose in a nice way of reflecting what's going on, just so happens we're going to get Kushida and Leon Ruff versus Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory.
We saw that as well, didn't we? Have we seen that? Yeah.
Let's go on something that I know you and I both enjoyed and needed and will remember the entirety of. And that was Xia Li murdering another enhancement talent. Great stuff, this. Again, an entrance longer. One of the few times where I'll allow an entrance to be longer than a match and still say, really enjoyed this. She comes down. There's all the spooky bollocks. She hits that horrific looking wheel kick, spinning wheel kick. 1, 2, 3, and then post-match goes, the whatever the person in the chair is does a few hand signals, which apparently mean, no, keep killing them.
Oh, I liked about this was that it didn't look as good as last week. And what I mean by that is the poor bastard who was in the ring with Xia Li. And it's great that I can describe someone in an enhancement role as a poor bastard, because it means the person doing the squashing is doing their job, is that the kick didn't look as impressive as it did last week, because that poor bastard was like, I'm putting my hands up here.
Yeah.
I'm putting my hands up here because I'm going to get my head kicked off, clean off my shoulders if I don't. So that was good. Did you botch the punch, or was it so well done that it took the commentary team completely off guard?
I can't tell. Yeah, I was in the same sort of position. I don't know. I think it was just, I'm hoping anyway, I'm inclined to go for the fact that she's just got that punch out of nowhere sort of thing. I'm hoping that's what it is.
Punch. I'm hoping it was. I'll put it over as such because I liked it a lot. I can't believe I like this as much as I do.
And for someone who I was just very much like, I could not, no offense to him, and I'm sure he's a lovely bloke, but I could not have cared less if he was gone from NXT. Now I look at Boa and go, I want to see what you do. Yeah. It doesn't work because it's not his character whatsoever. But Boa as Johnny Cage is something I'm 100% here for. Him killing someone and then leaving a signed photo on them is a dream of mine. But that's because I'd watch too much Mortal Kombat in my youth, including the questionable films, let's say. We had the backstage scuffle, Isaiah Scott, Jake Atlas, Bronson Reed. Scott and Reed. Yeah, that'll be a great match as well. Again, like you say, be a great match. Just sort of a, what's happening? Oh, I've got a scuffle backstage. All right, means to an end, I suppose.
Haven't we seen Bronson Reed versus Swerve Scott?
Probably, yeah.
I'm looking this up again. Bronson Reed, Swerve Scott. December 30th.
Oh, my God.
Are you joking? Are you winding me up? Did we see a tease of Bronson Reed versus Swerve Scott on this show?
Yeah, that push and shove backstage for a bit.
Sorry. That was hopefully whispered enough. Why would I want to see that again? And what are you doing when you're booking this show?
That was a whole year ago in their eyes, Sid. Right, main event time, Breezango versus Undisputed Era, represented, of course, by Adam Cole and Roderick Strong. Look, we know these four guys can work magic together, and they did. I enjoyed this as a main event. Got given a decent amount of time. Got some good near falls in there, because the panic was, well, don't have Undisputed Era lose. So when Fandango got a near fall immediately after, we had Tyler Breeze getting a near fall from a backstabber, there was a little bit of me going, you can't eliminate them, not now, not yet, they have to go first. I've plotted this out in my head where they're going. And then of course do we see what a call back to earlier on in the night, loads of high spots towards the end, then Dunn, Birch and Law can come down, attack Kyle O'Reilly. Finn Balor runs down to make the save, but the numbers game still catches up with them. Dunn, I don't know, just lays in a brutal looking shot to O'Reilly, and of course his injured jaw, which I forgot to mention. Finn Balor was lovely enough, babyface that he is, saying, yeah, he's the one who's going to have to eat through a straw now. He mentioned that in his promo earlier on in the night. Cole's distracted by what's going on here. Strong is eliminated to the outside. Panama Sunrise, he goes for on. Fandango is countered. Fandango goes up. It looks like maybe Breezango are going to get the victory. They're going to advance in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, but he comes off the top to eat a wonderful looking super kick. Cole covers him. 1, 2, 3. It felt very much like a sort of spinning wheels episode of NXT. I think it's fair to say this.
Absolutely. Like, they're going to struggle. They struggle anyway, but they're going to struggle to get people to give a toss about this Dusty Cup, in my opinion. Like, it's just what happens when you neglect something for so long. It's just difficult to grow and it's difficult to care about. This tag team division has been rubbish, borderline rubbish for a year. This is always going to inspire this kind of reaction this episode when he builds a show around that division. This match was good. It was well worked. Probably won't remember it. One thing I will say is that even though Undisputed Era were clear winners, I did buy the near falls, which should speak to the quality of the match. But again, it just felt like, even though the moves were executed well and they were executed fast enough that I was sort of into it as a match, it was just a big move trade-off. That's all it was. Big trade-off of moves Z, where Breezango are babyfaces and Undisputed Era, they are babyfaces. We know they are playing babyfaces, but it was just an all babyface match with no depth, nice moves. It was exactly the kind of spot fest that other better tag teams get buried for being when they shouldn't.
There was nothing dreadful on this show, but like you say, next week when I come back to these notes and I'll go, oh yeah, cool. So we're going to get, obviously, like I said, a Kushida match for the North American Championship. We're going to get probably Pete Dunne challenge of the NXT Championship whilst Karrion Kross is waiting in the rings. And we've got, you know, this fight pit coming up, but like, I don't know, like you say, I don't know whether my perspective on it is tainted from going, oh my God, look, all this stuff that's going on. And yes, we had a conclusion to, you know, two title builds on Dynamite, but I still will remember a lot more of what happened, and that will still feed into my excitement for next week, as opposed to just, yeah, like next week I'll be very excited. I'll be giddy with excitement about both shows, not just the fallout from night two of New Year Smash, but obviously Fight Pit and more Dusty Rhodes tag team classic matches, including the women's side of things. But in terms of, like, I dread to think, Michael Sidgwick, what numbers Brian Alvarez is going to tweet out this evening. Because I think, what did we put? You put 885 plays 600. I genuinely think Hamflet with his 1 million versus 505 might be closest, because how anyone could, you know, get a message, like, play it out in your head if someone sat at home and their mate goes, oh my God, are you seeing what's going on Dynamite? And they're going, no, I'm watching NXT. Like, I don't mean to belittle it. And, you know, I'm a fan of both shows. I try to be fair. But I mean, we'll go to the vote anyway. I think everyone can see which way it's going. But which show won the Wednesday Night Wars for you, Michael Sidgwick?
AEW Dynamite.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't argue. We've kind of covered everything we needed to. Yes, it was, if you want to go there, slightly unfair. It was a New Year's Smash show versus your average TV show, but it's not like WWE haven't done it completely the opposite way when it comes to Dynamite for the past, well, how long has Dynamite been on the air for? And Andrew Pollard, who was tweeting throughout the shows and publishing news stories about what was going on, trying to watch both shows. God, it must be mad to try and do that. I tried to do that the first night of these two and couldn't manage it, if I'm perfectly honest. But he posted a vote up on our Twitter at 3 a.m. in the morning, which should be slightly more reflective of people's perspective, because it's not, you know, losing an American audience. People have just watched the shows, etc., etc. And that went 65% to 35% in favor of AEW Dynamite. So a clean sweep. And I think even with Hamlet's love of NXT, he'd have to hold his hands up and say this was a massacre this week, Sidge.
Hey, told us on WhatsApp. No, he didn't. He didn't.
But anyway, let us know your thoughts on NXT on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, they can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Make sure you follow the lawnmower at M Sidgwick. Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And as I mentioned earlier, please do send some lovely messages to tell Michael Hamflet to get well soon. At Michael Hamflet. Subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, including our review of AEW Dynamite, which is available right now. And this has been the Wednesday Night War review of NXT. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.